So it goes.
That's what we like to do on this show. Find the comedy gold.
So it goes.
I just like
non-fungible as a word.
It is a good word.
It's a wonderful. It just has a good mouth feel.
So it goes. La di da, la di da, la la.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the second hour, the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with Jane Matinere. Our board is good?
We're good.
The ghosts are out?
Yes, for now.
For now. We have a very fun hour coming up at 11:30. Want to hear from you on what is your house rules for phone use and how guilty are you of fubbing? Do you know what that word means?
I'm assuming you're on your phone when you should be having a conversation with the person who's sitting across.
Yeah, like you're snubbing someone, but with your phone. So fubbing.
Hence fubbing.
So we're going to be talking about that at 11:30. We'll also still give away those Brewers tickets and try to play our quiz if we can. But for now, what is the difference between dense breasts and breast cancer? Well, it's not always so easy to tell. And a new bill that is circulating in both the Assembly and the State Senate is hoping to make insurance have to help you and pay for it as you are figuring it out. And so one of the patient advocates for this bill and for breast cancer overall is our next guest, Ashley Indo. Welcome to the show, Ashley.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you. So did I summarize what SB 121 and AB 117 is basically?
Well, what I want to go back and I want to talk about like how this bill came about.
Sure.
Because it's really building on Act 201, which is the breast density notification bill.
Go ahead.
So what I want to talk about is maybe go way back. And first, let's define dense breast. So everybody's breast composition varies, right? You have fatty tissue, and you have structures associated with nursing, like milk glands and milk ducts. So glands and fibrous tissue, that's the dense tissue of your breast, okay? And so the only way to tell if you have dense breast, and 40% of Wisconsin women have dense breast, is to get a mammogram. And when you get a mammogram, the radiologist gives you a density score, and it's based on the composition of dense breast versus non-dense breast. If you have dense breast tissue, it shows up as white on the mammogram. Cancer also shows up as white. So you're getting a mammogram for early detection, early screening of breast cancer. But if you have dense breast tissue, then we can't say for sure there's no cancer growing. So you get a category A, that's fatty tissue. You get a category B, that's scattered, so it's mostly fatty, some dense, but we can still see if there's cancer growing. If you get a C or a D, a C is heterogeneously dense breast, and a D is extremely dense breast. The dense breast tissue is white, and the cancer is white. It is like finding a snowball in a snowstorm. Just because the radiologist says, you know, I don't see it, doesn't mean it's not there. If you have dense breast, you have a 4 to 6 times risk of developing breast cancer. 73% of all breast cancers are in women with dense breast. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. Number one, we can't see the cancer because your breast tissue is so dense. And number two, you're at an increased risk for developing breast cancer. So Act 201, which Wisconsin passed in 2017, said, okay, any center that is performing mammography, you need to notify women if they fall in that category C, heterogeneously dense breast, or D, extremely dense breast, and let them know what the risk factors are of having dense breast. We can't always say with 100% certainty that there's no cancer growing, you had an increased risk of breast cancer, and you need to talk to your primary doctor, like if additional supplemental screening is necessary. And that's where this bill comes in.
Okay.
So women would get notified. Okay, you have dense breath. They go to their primary care doctor. And the doctor says, okay, you know, I do think that we should do supplemental screening. The doctor writes the order. The insurance company denies it because it's not mandated. It's not covered. Out-of-pocket cost for supplemental screening is anywhere from $234 to $1,200. That's a significant barrier for a majority of women. For 40%, you know, 40% of women have dense breast. You know, a certain percentage of them cannot afford that additional out-of-pocket cost. So Senate Bill 121, Assembly Bill 117 would no cost sharing. So insurance companies would have to cover the cost of supplemental screening and diagnostic examination in women with dense breast, and that's that BI-RADS score, C or D, or those at risk for developing breast cancer. It's awesome.
It feels very straightforward. It feels like this is absolutely something. Because, I mean, can you imagine being put in that position of just because of, like, your anatomy? You're like, oh, now I get to, like, because you're not going to, I would assume, not going to get the extra screening and just pay for it because you're like, oh, the alternative is that I have breast cancer and I go untreated for longer than I should. Is that basically, because as the status quo is right now, it's basically putting people in that position. Like, you either have to pay for the extra screening or take a gamble that maybe it's just because I have dense breasts.
That's correct. So, and that's what happened in my situation. So at the age of 35, even before you're supposed to start screening for a mammogram, I had no family history of breast cancer. I had no risk factors other than dense breast tissue. So I found a lump, 35, went in, my primary said, yep, I see a lump. I had a mammogram and I had a breast ultrasound and they just said, just dense breast tissue. And I was like, okay. You know, like and that's why we really need to educate and empower women and physicians to know what the risk factors of dense breast tissue are. So 6 months later, I went back. My mass grew. It hardened. You know, I said, hey, something's going on here. She did a breast exam and she's like, you're fine. It's just dense breast tissue. And I know now that you can't palpate and tell if it's dense breast tissue or not. What she was feeling was, in fact, the tumor. The pandemic hit. You know, I was like, okay, it's just dense breast tissue, just dense breast tissue. She said that in a way to alleviate my fears, which in reality should have been elevating. So when I returned in the fall of 2021, and she said, you can opt out of a breast exam. And I said, no, I think I still want it. She said, just dense breast tissue. And I said, well, I'm not happy with that. I have two young kids. I'm young. I can't get hugs from my kids without it hurting. I can't lay on it. I can't work out. She's like, I'll do it to put your mind at ease. And so that's not what happened. I ended up with stage 3 triple positive breast cancer. It had spread to my lymph nodes. And I was like, oh, like when I was getting the second mammogram done and they biopsied it on site, I kept saying, just dense breast tissue, just dense breast tissue. So that's why I'm doing this right now.
Absolutely.
Because
of course.
Just dense. Mm-hmm.
We're talking to Ashley Inda, who's a patient advocate on behalf of breast cancer, but also specifically having dense breasts and what that increases your likelihood of having breast cancer, but also makes it harder to actually detect it. And so, as far as the legislative part of this, is this something that you advocated for? And like, how did the bill start? Like you said, it was Act 201, and then how has it progressed since then? And have you been involved since the beginning?
So actually, a similar bill was introduced last year, but this current bill is better than that because this current bill totally eliminates any cost sharing in terms of the patient having to pay. Last year, it was like a $50 copay. So this is the second time that we've been kind of bringing this forward. The wonderful thing about this is it has bipartisan support. Over one-third of the legislators actually co-sponsored the bill. The Senate Health Committee has already had a hearing on this and had people testify. The next step in that is that they have to kind of meet behind closed doors and see if they want to move this out of committee and then onto the floor. We're told that the Assembly is going to be meeting sometime this fall, the Assembly Health Committee, to kind of hear testimony. We have over 17 organizations that are in support of this. In the last 4 months, approximately 7 states have passed similar legislation.
Oh, wow.
So And the biggest thing is, like, how much is this going to cost? How much are our insurance companies, like, the premiums, how much is it going to go up? And on average, it's 84 cents a year.
That's oh, wow.
It. Yeah.
So there's really no reason to not do this.
Yeah.
So as far as, you know, we always love bipartisan supported bills.
It's shocking.
It's shocking. Doesn't always happen, but this seems like a no-brainer. And so as far as what people should know as contacting their senators or their assembly people, who, as far as it's still being in committee, is there specific names that you would want to throw out of people to reach out to and let them know your people, individuals and voters, constituents' support of this bill?
I would encourage everybody to go to earlydetectionwi.com. There, you just plug in your information and it just sends all this, the emails, and it contacts. I'm sent a set a timer on my phone, and I contact my representative every week to let them know. When we had our advocacy day, we were told by their staff that the more times that you call, they kind of take note of that, like, oh, this is really important. I would say any member of the health committee on either the Senate or the assembly side is great to start there, but just go to earlydetectionwi.com. That's if you're just kind of lost as to where to start.
And Ashley, that's really nice to know that if you are persistent, it might actually cut through that this is important to their constituents. I think that's really important.
And then finally, beyond the bill and the legislative and policy side of things, what would you recommend as resources for people who would, just as far as their own health and being aware of dense breast tissue and what that can mean, is there any other resources or is that also on earlydetection.com?
No, so I have a whole bunch of them. MyDensityMatters.com. AreYouDense.com, OperationBreastDensity.com. You go to those sites and you're going to get so much information. There's a calculator that you can fill out to determine what your risk factors are. You can take that with you when you go to your appointment. You can be empowered.
Great. Well, this was super informative. Thank you so much for reaching out to us and letting us know this is happening. I will put all those resources in our show notes for today. But Ashley, Inda, this is wonderful, and thank you for your advocacy on behalf of all of us, because I would say I have some dense breast tissue. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be Bye-bye. Back in just a moment. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. Let's try this again. Now that the port is working.
Yes.
We have tickets.
Brewers tickets.
Brewers tickets for tomorrow night's game at 7:10.
Four.
We have four tickets against the Colorado Rockies. We would love to give them away. I want to play this game because I think it's funny as the shakeup in college football conferences has played out. I don't know what's going to happen with the Pac-12. So basically over the weekend, there's only four teams left in the Pac-12 and everyone else is in the SEC or the Big Ten. And I also don't know what this means for, like, those poor student athletes who have to travel for games now.
Seriously.
But I want to test your knowledge on the rally cries of different college football teams or colleges in general.
And you can't lose.
And you can't lose. I'm not going to, if you get them wrong, I'm not going to not give you the tickets. But also, if you want to play and you can't take the tickets, we'll also figure out a different way to give the tickets away. So just call 844-967-2789. We'll see if my dad calls back because he would have been very good at this. Because
that's going to be a slam dunk for him.
Yeah, guy loves sports.
I know.
He is a steel trap when it comes to sports trivia. But yes, 844-967-2789. If you either want to win Brewers tickets or just play the game and we can give the Brewers tickets away at the end of the show, 844-967-2789. We have, I think I know who wants to play. Regular listener, regular caller. Pretty exciting. I think, I have a guess on, is it Joe from Appleton?
It is our friend Joe from Appleton who just wants to play the game.
Okay. Joe, how are you doing today?
How's it going?
How are you doing?
Can't make the game. I'm doing just splendid. I can't make the game tomorrow, but this is right up my alley.
Perfect.
So I got to play.
So we got seven of them. What are you betting you're going to, how many are you thinking you're going to get right?
I bet I can get at least four.
Okay.
Get the majority of them.
All right. So I'm going to give you the team's rallying cry, and you have to name the university.
Okay.
Pretty straightforward.
Okay.
All right. First one. Go Blue.
Michigan.
Got nailed it. Number two. Hook 'em Horns.
Texas.
Nailed it.
I actually might have got that one right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hook 'em Horns?
Yeah.
Roll Tide.
Alabama.
All right. They already got three.
Three for three.
Four. Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
I actually know this because of basketball more than football, but it's Kansas.
Yes, it is. Does Kansas have a football team?
Kind of.
They're not very. They're known for basketball, but that one's Rock Hawk Jayhawk. That one's dumb. All right. Anyways, number five, Hotty Toddy.
Oh no! Oh, gosh.
I've never heard this one either. If it makes you feel any better,
I have, but. I got to make a guess. Hotty Toddy. Is it Arkansas?
Ooh, you're close. I'll give you one more guess.
I'm close, as in geographically close?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
I think. I'm thinking about a map right now.
Mississippi State?
Is that Ole Miss?
No,
Ole Miss is different than Mississippi State. It's Ole Miss. Ole Miss is Hotty Toddy.
Ah.
Okay. All right, number six, Woo Pig Suey.
That's Arkansas.
That's Arkansas. There you go.
How embarrassing.
Yeah.
They
final
actually,
one.
They chant Woo Pig Suey?
Woo Pig Suey.
Okay.
And the final one. So you only have one missed one, so you've already surpassed expectations. Number seven, Go Cox.
South Carolina.
Nailed it. 6 out of 7.
That's very impressive.
That's very impressive, Joe.
Yeah, for sure.
I think I had the answers in front of me, but I think I would have known three of them. I would have known Go Blue, Hook 'em Horns, and Roll Tide. I would not have known the other ones.
Yeah, I watch way too much for my age. I've aged out of the college fandom for a long time, but yeah, I'm getting too old for this, but it's hard to give up.
More football or basketball?
Definitely more football.
Okay.
Definitely more football.
Do you have feelings on the conference changes that happened over the weekend?
It's bad for everybody except who's going to make the money.
Totally agree.
Yeah. It's bad for the students. It's bad for the fans. It's bad for tradition. But there's going to be more eyes on the TVs, I guess. And so good for them.
Good for somebody. But yeah, I totally agree. Right. As far as I don't think this was not a democratic decision as far as people who are happy about it, but it is what it is and not much we can do about it. Hopefully the Badgers can hold their own.
Hopefully they're going to be playing night games against USC now. That'll be something.
Yeah, that'll be something. I still can't figure if they're going to have to get on planes. These poor college kids are going to have to get in planes, you know, to actually play their games. But I don't know. I mean, there's also, if we have that many teams in a conference, who gets to play whom? I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. Yeah. But thanks for playing, Joe. We'll give away the tickets later in today's show, probably just to a first caller.
We've got somebody on the line right now, actually.
Oh, great. All right.
Perfect.
Well, thank you for the call, Joe.
Give them the tickets.
All right. Yep. Thanks a lot, Joe. Have a good one. 844-967-2789. Drew from Lake Mills. Good morning, Drew.
Doing?
We're good, Drew. How are you?
Hello. Oh, we're doing great.
Did you want a couple Brewers tickets, sir?
Yeah, I can use a couple Brewer tickets.
Perfect. So how would you like four of them?
Well, I was saying that I don't think I can use all four, but I could use two.
All right. Well, we're going to go to a break right now. Jane's going to get your information, and you get two Brewers tickets.
All right, awesome.
All right, thanks for listening. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about fubbing. And what are the rules in your house when it comes to phone time? 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. Jane, how addicted to your phone are you?
Well, I have a pretty bad Twitter addiction. That's really the only thing I do on my phone, except okay. call people.
And you actually do call people. I've trained you to text.
Yes. But sometimes I still annoy you and call you anyway.
Which is fine.
I'm better at I can use my thumbs now.
I'm trying to think. I don't know if I'm better at texting or better at talking. You'd think, considering my job is to talk, that I would be more communicative on the phone. But I'm a pretty good writer.
You are.
But I take a chance to punctuate and
those little
get
things.
get my point across via text. But I would say I fail most litmus tests as far as probably etiquette. I'm in my phone way too much.
And is it just all different different news sites, or are you playing games? Or
it's all of the above.
All of
it's
them?
Social media, it's games, it's news, it's I don't know. It's distractions, I would say.
Okay.
And so my question to you listening right now, what are the rules in your house? Or what rules have you set up for yourself as far as phone time? 844-967-2789. If you have kids, have you set up rules? Not at the table, but also with your partner. How much do you guys just, you know, the person you spend the most time with, how much is it accepted kind of in your relationship to be on your phone instead of present? What is it like with your friends? You know, like what rules have you set up as far as for yourself or expectations for people when you're out with them when it comes to head down, like nose in phone distractions? 844-967-2789. Because there's now a term for it, or there's been a term for it for a while now. I only recently learned what the term is called. It's called fubbing, which is basically a combo of phone snubbing, in that you are distracted and looking at your phone instead of actually creating, you know, the intimacy of the person who is sitting across from you. And it's interesting because I had a couple different articles about this. One is from the New York Times called The Insidious Habit That Can Hurt Your Relationship. And then also one from The Guardian, Stop Fubbing, the 10 Rules of Smartphone Etiquette from the Bathroom to Your Bed. So we can go through some of those rules to see how many of those at least I break.
Or you can check into and let us know what your phone rules are for your spouse, your kids. How do you handle meals together? 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Gary from Sussex. Good morning, Gary. How do you handle fubbing?
Well, first of all, we don't have any rules. I'm 71. My wife is 69. We own our own heating and air conditioning business. My wife is on the phone checking emails. She's on my phone, which I don't want her to do, but she does it anyways. She tracks me wherever I go on my iPhone, which is fine. You know, I didn't like the idea that she was tracking me without me knowing it, but I have nothing to hide. But when we watch a movie, she's playing on her phone constantly. And then we go to bed. Thank God that we have kids and grandkids, and otherwise we'd be childless. She plays on her phone until I fall asleep.
Good thing you guys got those kids in before phones came along.
Yes.
So So both. So is she a worse offender than you when it comes to being on her phone?
Well, since once in a while I get to take her out to lunch if I'm between jobs, but when I'm there, I'm not allowed to answer my phone, even though people are calling me that they don't have their air conditioning working. She said, "Wait until after we're done with our dinner," and I pick up the phone anyways. And she gets mad, but then, of course, I get the call and go out there and fix the problem, you know. But that's the only rule, is I'm not supposed to touch my phone while we're out to dinner, you know. That's the only rule that we actually have. Otherwise, we just make it work, you know.
Yeah.
It's not worth arguing over, especially after being married 50 years to the same woman.
Well, that's the thing. Thanks so much for the call, Gary. That's one, and for the joke.
That's great, absolutely.
That was great. And so, because I think about that, Mike and I are on our phones a fair amount, and we don't really get mad at each other. I've been in other relationships where there's more
tension
over how much the other person is on their phone. But I would love to hear from you as far as how much do you fub, or how much do you feel like you are fubbed, whether it's your friends, your romantic relationship, your kids. What rules have you set up as far as trying to, because like this is something that we all deal with now, and it's the conscious effort to not have that addiction to, as soon as there's a lull in the conversation, pick up your phone and do the thing. And like, it's not even, you didn't get a text.
Right.
You didn't even get a notification. It's just the default, at least that's what it is for me, of in my ADHD brain, if there is a lull in the conversation and I am bored for even a second, it's like, well, I'm going to look at my phone.
See what's going on.
844-967-2789.
This is not a problem for us.
Not a problem for you and Paul.
Because Paul doesn't use his phone for anything.
Okay.
Except for phone. And even with phone calls and texts, he is the three words. He kind of maxes out at like three.
Is he good at picking up the phone?
No.
No. So do you, so you just use your phone for Twitter. So when you guys are just at home, like watching TV on a random Wednesday, are you actually watching TV or is one of you on your phone?
We're watching TV.
All right.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I will, or I'll be in the kitchen watching a movie on my laptop and he's in the other room watching what he wants to watch, but I will still just watch the movie and not check Twitter and check other things while I'm watching a movie.
Oh, see, I do that.
See, that would drive me crazy.
That's why I actually like going to the theater, because that's the only thing that will keep me from not being on my phone while also having TV or a movie on.
Then why even bother putting on the movie?
Because I can focus on many things at once, Jane. Obviously. I am like the queen of multitasking, haven't you heard?
Just keep telling yourself that.
But it's crazy because I think like this is like that gray area of what is rude and what is not. Because I, you know, there's certain people who have the boundary for themselves who, if they're in the presence of another person, they will not check their phone. And like just to show respect, and that's in business meetings, that's at dinner, that's with friends, of just like, I will check my phone on my own time when I am alone. And I think I try to do that. Like if I'm at dinner with friends, my phone's away. But if I'm in at dinner with Mike, because I see him all the time.
Oh, he gets less courtesy.
If we're out to a nice dinner, I'll take it out. But then as soon as he takes his out, I take mine out. I was like, well, fine. If you're going to be on your phone, I'm going to take mine out.
And we've been on vacation overseas to some really beautiful places. You know, you're having dinner. You're right on the beach. It's gorgeous. And there's a family of four at the table next to us, and they're all staring at their phones.
Yeah.
And I just think that's such a... Be in the moment, people. Breathe things. Listen to things. Engage with each other.
That's the thing. It's funny to think, like, what did we do before? And, you know, the joke is always of, like, Seinfeld episodes where the entire premise of that episode couldn't work because you just have a... Everyone would have a phone now. And, like, I think about it. In the first summer I lived in New York, which would have been the summer of 2007, and I did not have an iPhone.
Oh.
I mean, the iPhones were basically not even, what year did they get introduced? 2007, 2006, 2008, something right around there. So I think I still had like a T9 texting phone. And so when I was on the subway.
June of 2007.
So yeah, so that summer. And I'm like, what did I do on the subway? Did I actually just read a book? Did I just stare out there? Like, did I just people watch and like watch people? You know, or when you were waiting by yourself at dinner for your friends to show up. Like, what did people actually do in their idle time that is now filled with staring at your phone and playing Candy Crush?
You would talk to other people. Shocking, I know.
Small talk?
Yes.
Oh.
You would talk to other people. If you're, you know, if I'd be waiting at the bar for a friend to meet me for a drink, you would maybe talk to the person sitting next to you.
So it's funny because in the Guardian article, as far as stop fubbing, the 10 rules of smartphone etiquette, I don't know if I agree with all of these. Some are egregious. So like using your phone during sex, which feels, that one feels insane to me that there's people out there doing this. But this includes taking a call, reading a text, checking a notification, or even, for the narrator of my novel, pausing when the phone vibrates to look in its direction. I would say that is a good one.
Well, you're
no phones during sex.
You're making kind of an editorial comment if you take a call.
Right?
That's, yeah.
Take, not even, actually, you know, this is a funny story. I, in my, you know, 8 to 9 different credits I had when I was acting, I basically always got cast as either an athlete or like a hooker.
That's so odd to me, but so continue. Odd.
So there was a small independent movie that was about a guy. It was supposed to be a comedy, but it was a guy who got addicted to like escorts. And in that, I had one scene in the movie. I was an escort. I was supposed to be like this like beautiful, like high-end escort. And the whole joke of the scene was that I answered the phone during sex. And this was circa 2004 or 2005 I filmed that. But that was, I mean, that was the joke, right? It was like, could you imagine paying for sex and having this person answer the phone? She's like, and I think my line was like, yep, we're almost done.
Oh, God. I'll be right there.
But yes, I would say that is a strong one. Do not use your phone during sex.
Yeah, bad form.
But scrolling in the company of your pet, that one I feel like, really? Does your dog need that much attention? But if your pet needs to, this is from the person who's recommending these rules. If the pet needs a walk and you're on TikTok, the pet takes priority.
Oh, fair enough. Sure.
But how about when basic needs are met? What if I'm scrolling on TikTok while cuddling the cat? I guess it's like if you're petting your pet and kind of taking care of them, you're not ignoring them. But the person who's giving recommendations on this is saying that even you could even fub your pet by paying more attention to your phone than to them.
Well, I would say, because I see people walking their dogs and they're looking at their phones all the time.
I do that.
And I think the dog gets yanked and the dog wants to stop and sniff. This is their life. They're checking their mailboxes. This is the big part of their day, man. And now you're dragging them along because you're not paying attention because you're on your phone.
All right. Well, what about waking up and turning to your phone before turning to your partner?
Yeah, I don't do that.
What do you say? Would you think that someone who does do that is a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't think that's healthy.
But what if the other person's still sleeping?
Well, then, okay. I have a feeling you do this.
Well, I always wake up, Mike. I wake up way before Mike does. I would say this is a good one and that I don't do. Taking a call on public transportation. Like if you're on a bus or a subway.
Can we apply that to grocery stores?
Yes.
People on their speaker phones in the grocery store, I don't understand. Why do you want me to know what your friend did to tick off her boyfriend? I don't care.
I don't care. So yeah, I would say talking, especially loudly, but yeah, talking in public in general.
It's so rude.
Is a no-no. Checking your phone during a meal. I feel like it depends on the circumstances. Like, who's there? Is it like casual? Is it the middle of the workday?
Are you going to be at the table for 3 hours?
But even that, like, I feel like a 3-hour dinner that's like an event, that then I wouldn't check my phone. But also on this list, staring at the screen while walking. I think if you're, I don't know, I'm guilty of that. So, of course, I'm going to justify it.
Well, and I think that's how people get hit by cars
Fair.
And fall off of curbs.
Well, let us know if you have any thoughts on this and like the rules and the etiquette of staring at your phone. 844-967-2789. Maybe you'll win the other two Brewers tickets if you give us a call and give us your thoughts. 844-96-PARTY. We'll take one more break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I had to interrupt and stop this conversation. Your voice across the line gives me a strange sensation. I like to talk when I can show you my affection. Oh, I can't control myself.
City gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Pry. She is Jane Matinair. And we have two more tickets to give away for tomorrow night's Brewers game at 7:10. And who do we got?
We have Dale from Marshfield is joining us. Good morning, Dale.
Hi.
Hi. Dale, just to wrap up our conversation from the last segment, do you have any phone rules? Are you addicted to your phone?
Oh, after I got my smartphone, I learned real quick. I was down by Babcock by the three curbs. They're 15-mile-an-hour curbs. So I decided to see if I could text when there was nobody around, way late at night, and wouldn't believe it. By the time I looked at my phone, at my screen, I was on almost in one ditch and in the other ditch. So I don't go on my phone. Yep, that's talking on my phone or something. Yeah, there was nobody around. I was way in the middle of nowhere. I decided to see how dangerous this was. Yep, and it's dangerous. So I don't like text on my phone driving. I can talk with my speakerphone on. That's it.
That is a very good rule. Don't text and drive.
I don't want to end up dead. Like that girl in Pittsville, she drove herself before her graduation. She drove herself into a semi truck.
Oh, yeah.
And it's honestly for the kind of conversations, you can wait 20 minutes until you get to where you're going before you have to check your phone.
Yeah, you want to end up at the funeral and you're the one in the coffin? No, I don't want that.
No, but what about when you're not driving? How about when you're like at dinner with friends or a spouse or something like that? Are you good at staying off your phone then too?
Yeah, I am.
Good for you.
It's just polite.
It is polite.
Can't wait 20 minutes through a dinner. There's something wrong.
How about at a Brewers game? How much will you be on your phone at the Brewers game now that you've won the tickets for tomorrow night?
Maybe just a little, but
just a little. Enough to take some pictures. And if you post it on social media, you can tag Civic Media and you can tag As Goes Wisconsin because we are so happy that you get to go to the club level tomorrow night.
Okay.
And where are you listening, Dale? Are you listening on the app or are you listening to one of our stations?
No, I'm at the bank and I thought that Over the Back Fence was on, so I turned it on and it's not on anymore. I don't know if you got rid of Over the Back Fence.
Which station are you listening to?
1320 WFHR Rapids.
Oh,
FHR.
Yeah, that
All
might
right.
be. So are you there you go. But yeah, I think Over the Fence might be. We're on 10 to 12 every day. So if Over the Fence was on then, we have replaced it.
Okay.
But we're a pretty fun show. We just gave you tickets.
Okay. Do I got to pick them up someplace? Or?
No, they'll be mobile. So stay on the line.
Yeah, don't hang up, Dale.
Jane
okay?
will, Jane will get your information to make sure that you get those tickets, but congratulations. And I hope you keep listening, Dale.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a great day.
You are welcome. And again, Dale, don't hang up. I'll be right with you.
Over the Fence. Now I'll have to ask our friends at WFHR what
maybe
that show
maybe
was.
It got moved.
Maybe it got moved. I survived Vegas.
You are a trooper, man. Seven months pregnant? Seven and a half months
seven
pregnant?
Seven and a half months pregnant. Survived Vegas with my husband won MVP. We used to do this on group trips of whoever, you know, when it was multiple nights and there was a lot of partying involved, ultimately, you know, most people didn't make it all every night. So if you like had your wasted all your fun points on the first night, sometimes you didn't make it out the second night or vice versa, two nights in a row, the third night. But every once in a while, you know, there we would always name an MVP for the weekend. And it was a person who basically went the hardest for the most amount of nights. And I'm pretty sure my husband won that for his 40th birthday. And wow. I was fine with it because, you know what? We got less than 2 months till this kid gets here. And it's like, you will be surprised soon how little you get to do that. So
yes, enjoy it now.
Enjoy
it now. Yes, absolutely.
He spent, I woke up at 6:30 a.m. Saturday morning and he was still not in the hotel room. I called and I said, are you okay? And he goes, yeah, I'm playing poker.
Wow.
He sat at the poker table for 7 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
And had a great time.
Did he win?
He was up. He told me he was up by $500 at one point. He walked away down 100, which for 7 hours is not bad.
That's actually, if you can stay alive that long, and playing poker, too, that's pretty good.
And especially considering we had been out all day, like we were at the pool all day. The fact that he did not crash speaks highly of how much oxygen they're really pumping into the, because I was like, how did you stay awake that long?
Seriously.
But overall it was fun. But I got a lot of comments like that as far as you're a trooper and good for you. And the truth is my energy levels were actually, again, probably because of the oxygen. My energy levels were pretty good. My patience.
Not so much.
I started to run by the end of the night as the drinks increased. My patience decreased, and by, you know, between midnight and one each night, I was like, all right, I'm going back to the hotel room.
That's enough.
I'll see you guys tomorrow.
That's good.
But, you know, the heat wasn't so bad. I don't know. Most of the time you're in air conditioning.
Or you're in the pool.
And so, you know, and most of those places are all connected. And so you're walking, you're outside for
very
a
limited.
Minute,
yeah.
Maybe. But yeah, so overall, Vegas was fun. Everyone had fun. There was very little drama between a group of 14 people.
14?
Yeah. So it was his birthday, and obviously his twin sister's birthday. And then our friend Nick, who wasn't turning 40, but shares a birthday with them. It was his 36th birthday.
Wow.
So we had a big fun group. And then one of our good friends surprised everyone and drove out from San Diego. And so overall, it was very fun.
I don't think I've ever traveled with a group that big.
Oh, really?
That would be challenging.
Transitions are hard.
And I'm just picking, where are you going to go to eat?
So we had reservations both on Thursday night and Friday night and for big tables.
Okay.
And the transitions with that big of a group, if you don't have like a set itinerary and it's kind of like, well, what are we doing next? And again, when drinks are involved,
timelines get skewed.
I'm typically the person who's like, I don't care, and I'm just like having fun. Being sober and during transitions, much more frustrating. Much more frustrating. Like, can someone make a decision? And it's like the herding of cats.
Right.
Like, all right,
let's go.
Buddy system. Like, does everyone have their buddy? Geez. Like, did we leave someone at the last place? Going to the next place? Like, everyone on the bus? Like, yeah. But I think I won a lot of good wife points.
Well,
for
that's
the weekend.
Excellent.
So
that's
we will cash that in at some point, probably soon. All right. Well, thank you to everyone who called today. Thank you to everyone who texted. Congratulations, Dale, on your tickets and Drew on your tickets. Maybe you guys can make friends tomorrow night. We will be back tomorrow. Dan Schaefer will be here to recombobulate as always on Tuesdays at 11:30. And yeah, we'll have another good show. Maybe my brain will be, the board will be better, my brain will be better.
It'll all be
good.
We'll
get back in the groove.
It's all going to be good.
All right. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'm going to give it everything I've got. Lady, look, please let the dice stay hot. Let me shoot a seven with every shot. Viva!